Hi, I'm Gary Check, lead pastor at Grace Community Christian Fellowship in Flint, Michigan. And you're watching Growing with Grace. This show is intended to be an opportunity to teach God's Word and to understand it in a way that helps us as believers and followers of Christ to live lives worthy of Christ as well. We hope that you enjoy this biblical teaching from Growing with Grace. When I wrote this message, I had written down, we are entering into a time that is considered very special. Yes, it kind of makes it overwhelming with all the snow, you know, that this really is getting the sense of Christmas. We've had a light winter the last few years, but you know what? There's something about the snow that just makes it special. And yesterday, as I was looking out our window, I am seeing five deer feeding in the back of the yard. You know, and I'm going, I've never had that happen before in the city, you know, having deer there, and didn't care if I was a non-issue. In fact, I was invading their territory, you know, inside the house. It's a special time that we have. I remember that growing up, you had to hit Thanksgiving before Christmas stuff hit the stores and the trees lights went up. This year, it was before Halloween. Going to the stores for Halloween, I've noticed Christmas trees up in Walmart, and that was weird. You know, it's changed so much. It's altered its way with the Black Fridays, the Cyber Mondays, the Purple Tuesdays. If it comes out, I'm the inventor of that, by the way, Purple Tuesdays. I get credit for that. But you know what? In all that's going on, celebrate even around the world, there are still people that still wonder about God. They'll say Merry Christmas, and they'll celebrate Christmas and give presents without any regard for what that really means and why they're doing that. Pope John Paul II, in Draw Near to God, he writes this. He says, Christmas demands faith because Christmas is a mystery. Our reason cannot succeed in trying to understand how God could possibly have loved us to such a degree. The shepherds are given a sign. They will find him in a manger. There the infant Jesus has been placed, a sign of extreme poverty and of God's supreme humility. Such a thing baffles the intellect. It teaches us that to welcome the message of Christ, the divine Redeemer, reason must be laid aside. Only humility, which melts into trust and adoration, can comprehend and welcome God's saving humility. As we look to the joyous birth of Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, yet the world still asks, can we really know God? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that the answer to that question is yes. And you give us the revelation through your word, through a simple event as birth. But Father, that birth led to growth, that growth into a man, that man into teaching, doing miracles, making an impact, and then dying for us. As we look into today's word, Father, may you help us to understand the profound depth of what this time brings, leading to a time soon after in Easter. Bless us, Father, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Take your Bibles, if you have not done so yet, turn to the book of Matthew, the 11th chapter, and we're going to look at 25, verse 25 to 30. Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, grab one of them chair Bibles there and turn to the page number that is behind me. First part of the book, Old Testament, second half, New Testament, chapter 11, starting at verse 25. At that time, Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the intellect and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Not a typical Christmas passage, but I think there's a lot there for us for Christmas time, for believers to be encouraged and strengthened. I've come to realize that even believers in Jesus Christ can lapse into a period of questioning, can we really know God? Because sometimes he seems very far and distant. Friday the 13th this last week was really Friday the 13th. I tell you, it's like one hit after another. And what changed it, a lot of it for me, was babysitting my grandson in the afternoon from 2:30 to 5:30. That kid can just change your whole day and change your whole attitude. And he thinks waving your arms up and down and laughing is the greatest thing in the world. And that's him doing it to entertain me, not me doing it to entertain him. We so heavily rely upon the visual that when we don't see God, we begin to question God. Or when we see all the things happening to us, we wonder why it is happening to us if we're believers in Christ. Shouldn't our path be really easy? Shouldn't it be really smooth? No, it isn't that way. Sometimes we take our daily routine for granted and are distraught when the world is shaken by some unexpected disturbance and catastrophe, and we wonder where God is. But you know, because we're not seen, we cannot be fooled into thinking that we shouldn't understand how he works. See, God has made himself known. And especially at this time of the year, it's important that we carry the message that the creator of the universe desires to make himself known. Not only on this day, the day we celebrate Christmas, but each and every day in our lives. I believe there are four clear ways in which Scripture teaches us how we can know God. First, we can know God by the mystery and majesty of creation. It is a phenomenal thing. I told you about that sun pillar I saw last week or so. Things like that amaze me. I love the Northern Lights. We go up north for a week once a year, and I just always hope that one night out of those we'll see Northern Lights. I think once out of the last 10 years I've seen them up there. But when I see them, it just is phenomenal what God has created to entertain us. His creation is seen and unseen, though. It's amazing what scientists discover in the depths of the ocean and these creatures that have lived there for thousands of years. I'm not going to say millions of years, because I don't believe the world is millions of years old, and we can talk about that some other time. But there are things that we see and that are unseen that should convince us and help us to understand who he is. And Jesus said in verse 25 that heavenly things were hidden from the wise and learned and given to the infants, meaning that it takes childlike faith and trust to see the things of God. When man is too self-sufficient, he can't accept the things of God. Understanding eludes him because he wants explained in his way rather than seeking to understand God in his way. Man knows much, but it's only a fraction of what he doesn't know. And I think it took me a long time to understand that, you know, of just the depth of what I don't know can be overwhelming. But it doesn't give me the right to give up and to stop. Much of what man strives to prove is apart from God, and there he will always be finding walls and deception. He'll be stumped because he's trapped in an endless regression. Before this was this. Before this was this. Before this was nothing. Oh yeah, there was God. Before anything was, God was. Always has been. We don't fully understand it. We never will. The world apart from God does not make sense, however. In fact, without Judeo-Christian beliefs, many of the questions the world asks cannot be answered. Why is there evil in the world? Why do bad things happen to good people? God's word explains that to us. Sometimes the answers are not easy, and we have to accept them by faith. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians that we see as through a mirror dimly, but one day, face to face, those clouded issues will be removed someday. but not necessarily today. It is hidden from us for a purpose, however. The things of God are hidden that we might know God and that we might humble ourselves and come under his guidance and his leading. Jesus says in verses 27 through 28 that the only way to the Father is through the Son. There are no other options, no other ways. It is exclusive. And you might think, well, how narrow-minded is that? It's not narrow-minded if it's true. If he gives it to you clearly, your choice then is either to accept or to reject. But he's not giving you a lot of other options. But when he says it, and he is God, and he's backed it by actions, it's a pretty good bet to believe into it, understand it. The things of God are hidden for a purpose, for his purpose. Many years ago, in the Christmas season of 1879, a newspaper reporter was approaching a storefront where three little girls were looking with wide eyes and in amazement at the storefront toys that were on display in this store. And as he got closer, he noticed that one of the three girls was blind. And the two friends were trying to describe to her all the toys that they were seeing in the storefront window. And he thought, how difficult it must be to comprehend for this little blind girl the things that she can't see. And her friends were really trying to help her out and to explain to her through a window, through a separation. And so he took that story and he wrote an article about that, which appeared in the paper a few days later. 2 weeks later, Pastor C.L. Moody was doing a revival in that town. Same reporter went there to kind of catch him in some inconsistencies and see if he could find some flaws and write an article about it. To his amazement, Moody used his article as an example of a spiritual truth. And he was saying Dr. Moody said that just as blind girl could not visualize those toys in the window, so unsaved men cannot see Christ in all his glory. And the man listened intently to what Moody was saying. And he could find no flaws, but he found truth. And the story goes that he surrendered his life and turned it over to Christ at that time. You see, it takes a surrender of a childlike faith to understand that we won't understand. But through God, at least we get answers. Hold your finger here and turn over to the book of Colossians, just a little bit farther, right after the book of Galatians, Ephesians, and Philippians. And if you hit Thessalonians, you've gone just a little bit too far. There we go. Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 13. Paul says, "For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was by the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of the cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven." We can know God by the mystery and majesty of Christ's birth. Paul says that Christ was born the image of the invisible God. The Greek word for image is the word that we get icon. And we all know from those beloved computer tablets where we have that an icon is a little symbol on your desktop that when you click on it, it opens up this whole program. He is the image, the icon that explains it all and brings it all into focus. He was the firstborn of all creation, verse 15, meaning that before creation was, I am, says Jesus. He is saying he pre-existed creation. And if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. We see that God was not afraid to enter into human life, into this creation that he did, into a world that was hostile towards him, but yet those that were still seeking him. He is Lord of creation. Verse 16 says that, "For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him." He not only created all things, he is over all things and chooses to interact with all things. He is a completely involved creator. In his desire to do so, he introduced himself in a way that was understood. He came not as a king, which would have been appropriate, but as a baby, innocent, helpless, and with humility. He came in a way that each one of us came into the world, through birth. Yet his was a unique and special birth, by a woman, but not by the seed of man, but by the seed of the Holy Spirit. He came that God's promises might be fulfilled. The coming of the Messiah was promised hundreds of years before. And although God does not always tell us when, he does tell us that something will happen. In this case, God said that he would be born of the seed of a woman in Genesis 3. Born of the seed of Abraham, meaning the lineage of Abraham in Genesis 12. Born of the seed of Isaac in Genesis 17. Descendant of the tribe of Judah. Very specific things, clues. The time of his birth was told in Daniel chapter 9. He was to be born of a virgin, Isaiah prophesied, and born in Bethlehem by the prophet Micah. To have these seven prophecies alone would be remarkable. But there are over 60 major prophecies and over 200 additional prophecies in Scripture that were fulfilled in one man, Jesus Christ. And that's not even counting the prophecies that are yet to be fulfilled. Why? So that who he was would be made clear. Even if the accusation were to be true that Jesus fulfilled these prophecies while he was walking upon this earth, there is nothing he could have done about his birth unless he's God, and to bring it about at the right time. We can know God by the mystery and majesty of Christ's life. He showed us how to have a relationship with the Father. Look back at the Matthew passage. It pleased the Father to have all things committed to Christ in verse 27. Having a relationship with Christ connects you with the Father. He's not the first link in a chain. He is the chain. He is the strength that we have in knowing the Father. Do you want to know how to know the Father? Know the Son. No one knows the Father but the Son, and to those whom the Son chooses to reveal him to. Jesus' words in John 14:6 says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." But the world would like to have you think differently. The world would like to have you think that all paths lead to God. Well, all paths lead to something, but only one path leads to God, the true God. The majesty of Christ's life is teaching us how to rest in him as well. "Come to me," verse 28, "all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." A Sunday school superintendent asked a group of children, says, "Who can tell me what a yoke is?" "Something they put around the necks of animals," answered a 10-year-old little girl. "Then," the man asked, "what is God's yoke?" And there was silence. Finally, a little 4-year-old raised his hand and said, "God putting his arms around your neck." That's a good illustration, a good thought that God just wraps his arms around you to gently lead you where you need to go. I read that when farmers want to train a new ox, they would often pair this novice ox with a strong, well-trained ox. And the yoke that is there is not balanced. There is a heavy part and a light part. And the heavy part is always put upon the yoke of the oxen that is strong and trained, and the light one is put upon the new one, so that it wouldn't have a burden upon it as it learns the actions that need to take place in the farming. That's why the yoke is easy and the burden is light, because the Lord's yoke is made from the same pattern, and the heavy end, the heavy side is upon him. And if we join ourselves with him, he'll take us through those things that we need to learn and understand. And lastly, we can know God by the mystery and majesty of Christ's death and resurrection. It's always important to remember the complete story. Much of the world will embrace this innocent little baby that came into the world that we celebrate at this time of the year, even though he wasn't born at this time of the year, and give gifts and sing Christmas carols. But the truth of it, his life came here on earth that we might experience Easter. The ultimate goal of his life was his death, so that we might know life. At his death, for a moment in time, Jesus descended below the heaven and the earth. His glory in the heavens, his teachings on earth, and then went to the depth of the earth, to where the dead dwell, so that he might preach to the captives, so that he might validate the victory that he had over death. He didn't stay in the tomb for the 3 days. His body did. His spirit descended. And it's unclear totally what Jesus might have been preaching to. Is it the captives? Those fallen angels are held in bondage until a time which God releases them in the revelation at the end times? Or the saints that had served God and loved God and said, good job. We do know after that time, though, when he ascended, all those saints went with them. I always kind of pondered on that when the graves shook and the dead became walking out, you know, at his death. Man, that'd be kind of freaky as it is. But then what happened to them? They went home as well when Jesus went home. He did the fullest job, ultimately making way the salvation for me, for you, for your children, grandchildren, family, friends, anyone you care about. He went to the of death and conquered it, even in the center of the earth. His rising from the dead 3 days later proved that he is ruler over all. So his claims that he made are valid and should be listened to. In the Colossians passage, Paul said just before verse 19, he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross, through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. You see, that peace is there, that when we put our faith in Christ, we don't experience death like those before Christ. The Bible says that be absent from the body is present with the Lord. We don't have to go to Sheol or to Abraham's bosom to wait. We are immediately in the presence of God. He did for us what we could not do for ourselves. And we also share in his victory over death and the resurrection. We don't experience those things that we would have because of what he did. He and he alone could reconcile us to the Father. It took an act of God to satisfy the judgment of God that we might not experience the ultimate wrath of God. People, that's a story to tell people. A truth to tell people. We had this big snow yesterday, and I thought it was a very valid reason to stay home and not go out at all, although there are things I had to do. You know, I enjoy the snow. I enjoy it from a distance, like a window. But there was a guy coming through our neighborhood and wanting to shovel driveways and stuff. I said, you know, got a teenager, got a snow thrower. Plus, I don't ever carry cash or have cash. That way I don't have to feel bad saying I don't have any money, because I really don't. But, you know, there are people that need to know more than just the toils and struggles of this world. Some do need a helping hand. And it's us to have discerning eyes to reach out and to help, to show them the Christ. Because his promised return assures us that he is not finished with us yet. We are his ambassadors. We are his emissaries of the kingdom to take as many as we can with us before we go. That simple, I love that simple interaction between Kevin and a person he's delivering a package to. Sometimes you just know, and it's cool when the Holy Spirit reaffirms that between both people. But sometimes there might be the Holy Spirit saying, talk to that person, give them a word of encouragement, just in whatever it might be. At the close of the Great Commission, Jesus tells his followers that surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That means we don't go through it alone. There's no interaction that we do alone. There's no situation that we're in alone. There's no anything that we are alone in, because Christ is right there. And in John 14, 28, he said, you heard me say, I am going away, and I am coming back to you. You see, that's the heart of the Christmas message. He may have been here. He may have died, was buried, resurrected, ascended to heaven, but that's not the end of the story. He is one day coming back as well. I'm going to close with these thoughts here. As we anticipate the gift of God's Son, Jesus, we are to be reminded that he is God's gift to all of mankind, not just the church, in that he died for all, that all might live. Isn't that the good news that we need to communicate? That the God of the world seeks, that the world seeks can be known and came in a way that we could accept. If people just have the eyes to see that. 12-year-old boy came from a Christian revival the next week, and he had given his life to Christ, and his school friend says, how did you know? Did you see a vision? Or did you hear the voice of God? No. Well, what happened? The boy said, well, it's kind of like when you're fishing and your line's in the water, and you begin to feel a little fish tugging at it, even though you can't see the fish. I just felt God tugging at my heart. I remember that little boy that I was, about age 8 to 10, God tugging at the heart. That's a tug that you don't want to ignore. That's a tug that's important to share with other people. Jesus Christ is one of a kind, unique, but he's willing to share life with all who believe. He has given us eternal life, and the heart of our Lord's appeal to his creation is simply this. You can know God by trusting him. And in trusting him, you will finally come to know him. The late Christian author D. Elton Trueblood said, faith is not belief without proof, but trust without reservation. Only in the life of the Son do we have the assurance that we can know God as he really is. God the Father, Lord of heaven and earth, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and Father to all who will turn to him in trusting faith, not just on Christmas Day, but every day of the year. Let's pray. Father God, thank you again for this time. Thank you for the truth of your word and the resounding message that it has, that you love your creation and you desire for your creation to know you. Father, it may have started at a cradle, but he was glorified at the cross. May we take that message today and just share it with someone in some simple way, someone that we see that needs to have a little bit of encouragement and share a little bit of our faith in this day. Help each and every one of us, Father, to let people know that they really can know you through your Son. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Thank you for spending this time with us. And just a reminder that we're a church, a non-denominational Christian church on Davison Road near Center Road, right next to McDonald's. And if you've enjoyed this service, if you enjoyed this message, please come and spend a Sunday morning or Sunday evening with us, and we'd love to see you in person. You can read more about us at www.grace247.org. God bless.